Pear. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real...
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of clear digital audio. 22,500 miles above the planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.
This is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Jet Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, the afternoon guest today is Barry Shamish, who is a Jewish patriot who is living here in the United States because of threats on his life when he was over there in Israel, certainly recording the corruption that's taking place. And so, with that as a background, Barry, how are you this afternoon?
I'm pretty good. You know anything about the Buddha murder?
About the Buddha murder?
Buddha.
Oh, no, you mean the former prime minister of Pakistan. No, we do know that she was assassinated this morning. And, of course, we do know that she's been very critical of this radical form of Islam. And, of course, we do know that Pakistan has both nuclear weapons and intermediate-range missiles. And if Musharraf's government should fall and that Pakistan government should come under the control of the radical Islamists, it would be a terrible disaster for American foreign and domestic policy. And we would almost be obligated to move into Pakistan.
Well, I'm gonna take the ground that she wasn't protected by her government. I mean, this was her second attempt in 2 months. Now, whatever that means that the Indian subcontinent is going to be in flames. It's probably in flames right now.
Yeah, well, I certainly share your concern because, of course, Mr. Musharraf, the General Musharraf, didn't want Buddha coming back. And certainly he's had some attempts on his life, but there was an attempt on Buddha's life here just within the last 2 or 3 weeks. And do you think that certainly he would love to get rid of her because she's one of the major opponents of his being elected then to lead the country? So there are lots of implications here, and you may be entirely right. They may very well have let it happen or maybe even facilitated it. I wouldn't put it past them because Musharraf may pretend to be our friend, but he really is affiliated with this radical form of Islam.
Well, I'm no expert on this, and I'm not even going to pretend I know what I'm talking about. But since it's on people's minds, the second or two before she was shot, the lights went off. It was very well coordinated to be in the dark. And this is all the news I'm getting. It's not like I know what's going on. But that seems coordinated above and beyond her own personnel. Just keep in mind that if somebody wants to drag the world into a third world war, it doesn't necessarily have to start in Israel. It can. The Indian subcontinent has been overlooked for too long. They've got two countries, nuclear countries there. If they start collapsing, falling apart, that's a good way to get us all into a worldwide war as well.
I agree with you. I'm very, very worried about the implications of a war between Pakistan and India should the radical Islamists take over control of the Pakistani government.
Well, as I say, I'm not... I'm semi-apologizing for not knowing the subject well enough, but if you are of the opinion that that Bin Laden is founded and funded by the CIA, and that his family in Saudi Arabia are real pals with the Bushes, and this was a blow by his breed. Again, the motive could be entirely different than what people are talking about. It could be really just one more. Well, it could be Bosnia-Herzegovina and the shooting of King Ferdinand, and the next thing you know, Russia and Germany are at war. You know, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, certainly, it is an interesting analogy. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shammas here at Genesis.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the two books set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth." I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-pay to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest, of course, is Barry Shammas, and he's been talking about the tragic assassination of the former Prime Minister of Pakistan, Mrs. Bhutto, that happened apparently either late last night or early this morning. Certainly, already the information is coming out through the various CIA outlets, and I believe Stratford certainly has some tie into American intelligence because it has all sorts of information, and apparently the assassin blew himself up right afterwards. So, well, it was sort of convenient, just like Lee Harvey Oswald. They killed Lee Harvey Oswald immediately after the assassination of President Kennedy, so that, of course, he couldn't testify, he couldn't tell the truth about what happened, and, well, apparently the assassin of Mrs. Bhutto just blew himself up, or who knows what's really going on. Maybe he was assassinated so he couldn't talk if he was captured. And point to the people who are really responsible for what happened. And under any circumstances, it'll be some time before we get the full story. So pick up the story there, Barry.
Oh, I don't think we'll ever get the full story. That's being very optimistic. But let's talk about something I know about. I'll get a lot more confident when I actually know the subject. And that, of course, is Israel. I should add, by the way, that this Sunday I'm getting religiously married in a synagogue to my wife, who we were civilly married to, and she converted to Judaism this week, and we're actually getting you married religiously. So that's all. I'm glad I tell you and your listeners that little piece of information in this world that we're living in. Have a good day coming up on Sunday.
And we certainly wish you the best and all sorts of happiness, because a wonderful marriage can give you a wonderful life, and a terrible marriage can give you a terrible life. Fortunately, I have a wonderful marriage.
Well, we're working on that as well. So now, let's talk about George Bush is coming to Jerusalem on January 9th. And this is a subject of grand interest to certain people in Israel, because really this is an opportunity to actually protest him. I mean, line the street, line his motorcade with protesters wherever he goes, harass him, make his trip a nightmare. Well, that's not going to happen. Now, what's going to happen, and this again, I am certain, I am positive that Bush is being protected by the so-called leaders of the Israeli opposition, and here's how I know. Now, the first thing, I got an email from the Women in Green, the last activist group in Israel, the only one left. All the rest have been infiltrated, their leaders killed. They're gone. They're just simply gone. And I trace that thoroughly in my book, By Thy Gaza, where I trace how they knocked off, killed the leadership of Israel's opposition. Now, that leaves the Women in Green, who so far, Nadia Matar, the leader of them, is not dead. So they send me an email that they, when President Bush arrives, are going to be putting up a settlement. Here's what I wrote them back. I said, Bush is in Jerusalem, and you're going to be on top of some hill somewhere, far away from him, without any media exposure, and that is going to scare Bush. I said, that's really a smart move. They'll let you put up your silly settlement, and then when Bush leaves town, the army will come in and tear it down. And I said, I don't understand this cowardice, but what you're talking about is utter cowardice, this plan of yours. Now, this was 2 days ago I sent that little letter off. In 2 days, it seems like all of the Israeli protest movement that are tired, really, of seeing their lives being placed in danger and are trying to fight back Bush, and without even understanding that there really is a new world order, that he stands for something way beyond Bush, without any understanding of who is behind the destruction of Israel, well, these people, all of them, all the Israeli protest groups are going to go out and found a settlement somewhere. I said to myself, when I saw this, I said, this has to be done on purpose. It has to be some sort of operation to negate any protest when Bush comes to Jerusalem. They're going to send them out into the woods somewhere with a hammer and some nails, and they're going to put up caravans, and Bush is going to have a great trip without any protest. And this is what you're going to see. I can't stop that. You know, I'm really, even when I was in Israel, I would have been standing on the street all by myself Protesters of Israel were putting up trailers in the middle of deserted vacant hills somewhere. And that is what is going to face George Bush. He's got to be slapping his knee over this one. I mean, the Israeli people really are blind, but they're this easily led. My goodness gracious! This is what he can expect. No protest whatsoever. They're all going to be gone. They're all going to be out of Jerusalem when he's there. I think that's just marvelous. But he's got another problem. Now, I wrote a piece this week. It was a humorous piece. The message was to go and protest Bush, but I put it in a way that nobody could take it as, in some way incendiary. I did a humorous piece, and what it comes down to is the following piece of information that nobody seems to know, and that is, in Israel, Bush is going to be guarded by the head of the team that... ...committed Yitzhak Rabin the night he was murdered. His name is Amnon Ben-Ami. Now, really, if you were Bush's... if you were in the Secret Service, you can't possibly, be thrilled with this announcement. But this is, in fact, the truth. Now, remember, when a leader goes to a foreign country, he's got his own civil service surrounding him, but the American civil service can't guard Israeli sites, as one example, like the home civil service that knows every nook and cranny of the place. Well, the Israelis who are going to be guarding Bush are headed by the man who guarded Yitzhak Rabin the night that he was murdered. Okay, and I think that's just awfully funny. It's just a very, very funny trick to play on the guy. And, his civil service, someone must be saying that I wouldn't go to Israel. They might be trying to kill me. And the same guy who's responsible for Rabin's murder is going to be guiding Bush. That's a fact, by the way, people. I'm not making that up. This is not Benazir Bhutto time. This is an actual fact that I know something about. Now, I know a little bit about Amnon Ben-Ami. A tall guy, he's about 6'4", very rugged looking, possibly handsome. He was Israel's Walter Cronkite. He was the man who read the news back in the 70s when Israel had one TV station. He was bigger than Walter Cronkite. He was the only one reading the news. Now, I saw him, I think twice, at press conferences in the 90s. When Amnon Ben-Ami became Yitzhak Rabin's spokesman. Now, what this says about Israel is probably true for America as well. It says that the people at the highest levels responsible for giving you the news, in other words, for giving you the stories that become your news, not necessarily the news, are the Secret Services. I didn't know, when we were watching Ben-Ami on TV, we didn't realize that he was working for the Shabak, but he was. And he rose again to be the head of Rabin's bodyguards on the night of his murder, but this is an issue that I've covered many times, that Israel's broadcasters are in fact working for the Secret Service, and the media there is entirely controlled by the Shabak, but once again, Amnon Ben-Ami is going to be guarding George Bush. Amnon Ben-Ami, and I didn't know this, by the way. I did not know he was head of the Rabin Protection Squad the night that Rabin was murdered. Rabin was, of course, murdered in a true blue conspiracy, of which I have covered at great length, and the ultimate conspirator was Shimon Peres. Peres ordered the murder of Rabin. Well, George Bush is meeting Shimon Peres, and I'll tell you, I would be very, very careful if I was Bush. Not from protesters, but I'd be very careful of Perez and his bodyguard when he gets to Jerusalem. It's a very, very suspicious setup.
I share your concern, and as I said on an earlier program, no matter how you feel about George Bush, ladies and gentlemen, pray for his safety, because if George Bush were to be assassinated, you know who the president would be?
Well,
Dick Cheney.
And
I will tell you that Dick Cheney scares me a lot more than George Bush does. So pray for the president's safety while he's over there in Israel, being guarded by the same people who guarded Rabin, President Rabin, or the Prime Minister Rabin, on the very night he was gunned down with the full help and support of the Shabat, which is the Israeli counterpart of the FBI. Go ahead.
I think I hear music.
You do, Ed. We're going to be going to a break here in about 10 seconds.
All right.
Well, we want to hold off, and then we'll
return to Rabin and this murder. We'll get back.
Ted Anderson from Midas, December 27, 2007, gold, 829.80 ounce gold coins can be purchased for $854.56, $421.10 for half, $210.55 for quarter, that's $854.56, $421.10 and $210.55. The Chinese government has begun a campaign of economic threats against the U.S., hinting liquidation of its vast holdings of U.S. treasuries, responding to Washington's trade sanctions, forcing the Yuan Revolution. Communist Party bodies are warning that Beijing may use its 1.33 trillion reserves as a political weapon, causing bond yields to spike, hammering the U.S. housing market and throwing the economy into a recession. Russia, Switzerland, and several other countries have reduced their holdings due to this threat. Economist Ambrose Evans Pritchard published the report, China Threatens Nuclear Option of Dollar Sales. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Barry Shamish. And we're talking about, well, we're talking about what's going on over in Israel. We're talking about the fact that George Bush is going to be meeting over there. And, of course, what people have to understand is that the leaders of the United States, and, of course, they are the Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderberger, CFR complex. I mean, they all work together. And certainly they are intent upon doing away with Israel as a sovereign nation, set up a Palestinian state over there, and bit by bit, Israel is transferring the land that it has and moving towards transferring even Jerusalem itself under Palestinian control. And then, of course, is the Vatican, and they seem to have an intense desire to control Jerusalem as well. Well, I'm going to let Barry Shamish pick the story up from there.
Well, the Vatican thinks Jerusalem is their capital. And by the way, it is their capital. If you want to look through history, the Second Crusade brought in Frederick Barbarossa. He was king of Jerusalem for what was called the Holy Roman Empire, which of course was the military arm of the Vatican. From their point of view, Jerusalem is their capital. Now I have a CD, a DVD, 2 hours long, which I sent to you as well, and I hope you enjoyed it, where I lecture in Jerusalem about the finaglings of the Vatican. They want Jerusalem back, and they're behind Israel's demise in a huge way, by the way. It's not small. People keep writing me the same thing. The Vatican doesn't have an army. They write me that, and I say they do have an army. They have the armies of Germany and France and Spain and Italy. They have lots of armies. And this is just not understood, that the Vatican itself is a political machine with very powerful armies. And well, the main army of the Vatican is the EU. You know, really, it's such a naive thing to say, but people say that. And what do you know, in Israel right now, the quartet, now, if you don't know what the quartet is pushing peace down Israel's throat. They met at Annapolis for no reason whatsoever, apparently, but it was very dire stuff. But nonetheless, the quartet is the EU, the United Nations, Russia, and the United States, who all determined to bring peace to Israel. That's what they're there for. Now, the chief negotiator on behalf of the quartet is Tony Blair, former Prime Minister of England, of Britain. Now, what do we discover? Oh, I'd say it was 10 days ago, perhaps. Blair finally comes out of the closet and admits that he is converting to Catholicism. And the quote in my article, I quote him saying he didn't want to do it when he was Prime Minister of Britain because people would think he was a nutter or American for nuts, and which is probably true. I mean, what the heck? But all the time that the United States and Britain were fighting the Iraq and fighting in Afghanistan and to bring peace to the Middle East, this guy was planning. He was working for the Vatican. That's what he was doing. Now, Blair comes out and says he'll be converting to Catholicism while he is living in Jerusalem as the chief negotiator of the quartet. And I might add, during the Christmas break, it was he who negotiated with the Israeli army to provide open borders to the now Muslim city of Bethlehem. But there's something else that really should be noted. on the day or two before, or maybe even the same day, the Latin patriarch of of Israel came out with a statement, I've got it in front of me, where Israel is the force of evil in the Middle East. And that is what the Vatican think, because their patriarch said so, and Blair is converting to Catholicism. Now, I've got this DVD that you can't really order any other way. It's called the Vatican's New Crusade for Jerusalem, where I do the whole history. I'm just going to leave a phone number if anybody wants it. You get it from me for real cheap. You just dial 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. Everything I said in that DVD is coming to place. And as I said, the chief negotiator of the organization determined to destroy Israel's borders and leave it helpless and alone. Well, he's converting to Catholicism, Tony Blair.
And you have to ask yourself why. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair, and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Storable food. Storable food. HempUSA.org has an inexpensive, nutritionally dense, high-frequency food. Hemp, known around the world, will boost your immune system and increase energy levels. Detoxifies the body and reduces junk food cravings. Burns fat and builds muscle. And is easy to digest, non-allergenic, and gluten-free. Can be made into smoothies, breads, muffins, pancakes, cookies, you name it. The entire planet should make this a staple food in their diet. The seeds will scrape the colon wall. The powder will feed the body vital minerals. And the oil will clean the arterial walls and feed the brain. Try our powder, seeds, and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org. That's 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. Remember, vacuum packaging this food will have at least a 5-year shelf life stored in a cool, dark, dry place. Holidays are coming, and this would make a perfect gift for friends and family. Call today, 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. And remember, let your food be your medicine, and your medicine be your food.
Hi, Ken. It's Judy again. I just wanted to call you back and let you know how thankful Mike and I are for your working with us. You know the sun oven we ordered from you on KenSolar.com? It cooks all of our food and then some. Plus, we just sold the old gas barbecue. Also, the solar-powered generator reduced our electric bill just like you said it would, and it's powering my whole studio right now. We don't have to worry about our food going bad or surviving the outages anymore, either of which is huge. Well, Ken, I'll cut this one short for now, and thanks again. Go, Ken Solar!
Get the best of both worlds. Solar power for your household essentials and a backup generator all in one. Perfect for hurricane seasons. No long gas lines, no fumes, and no noise. Lower your electric bill and be prepared year-round. Complete solar kits for under $1,200. See the complete solar power generator kit at kensolar.com. Order your solar power generator from Ken's website at kensolar.com.
Genesis Communication Network, and those of you who listen to our programs know that the major thrust, the major objective of the secret societies, the people who work behind the scenes, has always been for a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a new world leader. Now, there are people within the Vatican hierarchy who want the Catholic Church to lead this one world government where we unite all religions under one banner. But, of course, how can you possibly do that if you believe, in that Christianity is the only way? How could you possibly be willing to forego your beliefs to simply get along with the Hindus or the Muslims or the Buddhists or the Shintoists or the Confucianists or the New Agers? I mean, how could you have a one-world religion and still maintain the integrity of your religion? And yet, of course, there is a tremendous drive today to bring about that one world religion. Well, you pick the story up there, Barry.
Well, I'm going to stick with the... I was going to talk about Edo Zoldan. That was an Israeli leader of the protest. And I'm going to talk about him, how they destroy the opposition. It just happened in Pakistan today. You destroy someone who is a threat to you politically. Now, I put in my latest article something that was, for some reason, entirely ignored by the American media. And that is that Denis Kuchinek, who is a very rabid opponent of Dick Cheney, he's got something wrong with him vis-a-vis Cheney. Well, he was running for Democratic presidential hopeful, and it looks like he's not running again. And part of the reason might be that his brother Perry was found dead in his apartment in Cleveland for reasons unknown. All I know is that about 2 weeks ago, Perry Kuchinek was found dead alone in his apartment. The police came to investigate, and then the story died. Now, if you want, I was waiting for a follow-up, even if it was a cover-up. There should have been a follow-up, because a murder like this naturally arouses suspicion. Who wouldn't be suspicious if a brother or a presidential candidate alone in his apartment is found dead? But the answer is, it seems like all America is disinterested. This reminded me a little bit about another person who was deeply opposed to Bush. And I believe he was the only congressman who opposed the Iraq War, voted against it, and that was Paul Wellstone. He was a Jewish guy from Minnesota whose plane went down over Duluth with his daughter in the plane in decent flying weather, and he was shut up. It was that simple. He opposed Iraq. He was the only voice opposing the war, and he was shut up before he could do any more damage. And people don't understand that he was shut up. And the same thing with this Denis Kuchinek. He lost a brother, and nobody is investigating it. At least let them find, an intruder. Let them come up with an excuse. But it disappeared. Now, I'm going to tell you people, if you want to see the article with the business about Perry Kuchinek, you go to my website. Just go to www.barrychamish.com. And Chamish is chamish.com. Go into articles, and I believe it should be up by now. And have a look at this. Maybe you could be smarter about these things I don't know anything about Denis Kuchinek. Maybe somebody out there knows something about him. Look, we discussed something briefly in last night, and I'll return to it. And then go back onto the subject of hushing people up, which happened in a big way today. But I got an article from a very major source, Reuters. And the source, the article just stated that the present Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, and who I believe is an alien from outer space. This is one very scary woman, a very anti-Semitic woman, very hateful woman. Nonetheless, she went to university in Denver, and her mentor, the professor who guided her, was Madeleine Albright's father. Now, what are the odds that the previous Secretary of State. Her father taught the current Secretary of State. I mean, what are the odds of that? And by the way, if nobody has ever considered that, the odds are one infinity to nothing. We have to understand that this is like the Republic of America, where about eight families seem to be running the show right now. You have a situation where Madeleine Albright forgot, one day she forgot she was Jewish. And I always thought that her family was killed in the Holocaust. And she was raised, according to the official story, she left Yugoslavia, and during the Holocaust was raised by her Jewish cousins in London. That's the way I read it. Well, her father is alive, and he's teaching poli-sci at the University of Colorado, and his chief student, the one that caught was the apple of his eye, was none other than Condoleezza Rice.
Well, remember, it's a small world.
Well, remember that he's Jewish.
Right.
And he, they're hiding. This is the classic Sabbatean line, the classic issue of what the Sabbateans do. They hide their Jewishness. I guess Madeleine Albright was told never to bring it up again. And they pass on this stuff to their students. Small world, that is an understatement. If anyone is willing to look this up and get more information, I think it really deserves... if you want to know who Condoleezza Rice is, since when does Chevron hire black women to be on their board? Okay, that's a real jump for the student from Denver to be on Chevron's board. You have to look at the way they pump up their leaders, their future leaders of America, and who's doing it. And I found the source of the corruption, and it just simply is one generation, one presidency away. Madeleine Albright's father was Condoleezza Rice's professor in Colorado. And as I say, people, that's impossible. That's absolutely impossible.
Well, before we go on, why don't we get your website out and your telephone number if people would like to get your information?
Sure, that's very kind of you. Now, my book, and I understand, and I'm very pleased about this, you got my book, Bye-Bye Gaza.
I did. I haven't had a chance to look at it. Just got here yesterday, but it's a beautiful book.
Well, it's not the kind of thing we glance at to read. It's 419 pages. And it's in color and black and white. You got the black and white. I just couldn't afford the color one. But the black and white one is $20. It's not bad. So to get that, you go to www.lulu.com. And then in the right-hand corner it says search. Just type in my name, Chamish, Chamish. And you'll see a new book there. I have a brand new book on Lulu. It is the Spanish version of Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. I'll talk about it if we have time, that two people translated the book into Spanish for me, and it's now an official book on Lulu.com. If you know anyone who prefers reading Spanish over English, I have a Spanish book up there now. Now that's how you get my books. Lulu.com. My website is BarryChamish.com, www.BarryChamish.com. And if you want to phone me, we're talking about a couple of DVDs, well, actually three that you just can't buy anywhere else, so I've been leaving my number. The Vatican one, it really is of interest. What's happening to Israel is so controlled by the Vatican. And that's 904-501-7605. 904-501-7605. And now we're back to the marvelous world of Israel. Well, and the United States as well. Now, Ido Zoldan, I'm going to just mention briefly. Ido Zoldan was the head of an organization, and this is where Bye-Bye Gaza, you'll get very educated very quickly about the four settlements in Samaria that were abandoned along with the Jewish settlements of Gaza, of Gush Katif. And Ido Zoldan was pushing to resettle his old home. He was evacuated from Qamish, his home in Samaria. And 3 days after his death, something planned for a long time, there was going to be a convention to resettle Qamish. And I, as soon as I saw that, I just knew that this was the Shabak, and I knew how it was done, and I wrote it accurately. And people wrote me back and said, you did it again. How did you know? I said, they're going to find out the PLO, Fatah did it. That's what they're going to find out, because Fatah works with the secret Israeli government, or the government in actual fact. And they work hand in hand. And when a Jew who they dislike, and that means all religious and all settlers, so-called settlers, by the way, the Israeli government has a background which we're not going to touch on today. I actually have a book called Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism and the Holocaust. If you want to know about Sabbataism and the type of phony Jew who founded Israel and the infiltration inside the Jewish nation, we can't do it on a radio soundbite. Maybe someday we'll do a whole show on this. But the fact remains that the Jews told Fatah to set somebody up and kill this guy. He's a troublemaker. And of course he was a troublemaker. His father is the leading contractor in Yesha. He's the leading house builder in Judea and Samaria. And when he says that they want to resettle Qamish, they're not kidding. These people can resettle Qamish. And, well, not anymore. The father won't be in any mood. You lose your son. You can imagine what it would feel like, what it would do to your temperament to lose your son. You lose all desire to fight anymore. Yuzeldan was just the last in a long, long list of Jews killed by the Israeli government. And this is one of the reasons I'm in America right now, which isn't a bad thing, you know, really. I'm sitting here with my wife, and we're going to get married this Sunday, and it's not a bad thing. I'm not complaining, but nonetheless, I would never be here if that threat wasn't on me. And I'm alive, but I came really, really close to dying when I was in Israel. I was actually dead on the hospital table. They had to refibrillate my heart and stuff, and I just said, enough is enough. I got the message. Idu Zoldan and his friends don't understand that they weren't just killed by Arab terrorists. They were killed by an Israeli government who kills Jews. This is something I've been harping on for long enough. Now, I'm going to do something we did last night. You reminded me of a subject last night. I brought up something new that you should know about. And that is the death of Leah Rabin, Yitzhak Rabin's wife. Now, it was the year, I believe the year was 1999, November of 99, if I'm not mistaken, that I'm watching TV. The night before I watch TV and I see Yitzhak Rabin's son on Channel 2 News saying that if there isn't a reinvestigation of his father's murder, there will be a lot more Chamishes in the future. I heard my name from Rabin's son, and he's predicting a lot, and he was right, by the way. They're, right now that I'm in America, the amateurs are leaving, they're keeping the Rabin subject alive, all kinds of amateurs who have their own theory. The subject won't go away. But I heard my name on TV from Rabin's son. Now, the next day, first his daughter, Dalia Rabin, says the same thing. But she doesn't mention my name. But she says there has to be a reinvestigation. There are too many questions that have to be answered. Then at the 5 o'clock news, a very big show in Israel, one of two news programs is called Erev Chadash, a new evening. There was Leah Rabin. And I remember just sitting in my chair saying, what is this witch going to say now? And then what this witch said was absolutely shocking. She said, the public should look at Barry Chamish's book. in Hebrew it was Hatzibur Tzarech Ledaper Tzefer Shokamish. And my ears perk up. I can't believe it that she said that.
Now, this, of course, is Rabin's wife. The man
yes.
was killed, and his wife is saying, look at Barry Samus's book, because he's going to tell you that this was a plot of the government against my husband. That's what she was saying.
Well, no, she didn't go that far.
I know, but
this
is what she was saying.
She used the word lit up death to leap through Samus's book. That's all. It was nothing more profound than that. But you're right, the implication was very profound. They started looking through my book. They're going to see a very different story. And then she said that she wants her husband's death reinvestigated. All right? She says it on TV. A year later, she's dead. All right? Dead. She died of breast cancer a year later. Now, here is the story we were talking about murders and whatever, and it came up yesterday. I give a lecture in a place called Petah Tikva. These details are important to me. They give credibility to what I say when I remember small details. And one of my secrets where I got so much information, was that I gave these lectures week after week for years on end on Rabin, and at the end of Israel's a small country, and some of these lectures were to high army officers, and high professors. Everyone knew something. Everyone knew, from every level of society, someone had a friend who knew something about the Rabin assassination and other stuff, lots of other stuff. Well, this, in Petah Tikva, this religious doctor wearing a kippah, after the lecture says, I want you to know something. I work in the oncology department at Ichilov Hospital. And, I was examining Leah Rabin, and they gave her the wrong medicine. They gave her, medicine that would do nothing for her. It was wrongly prescribed, prescriptions for this woman. And I went to the head of the department, oncology department, and I said, this woman's gonna die. She doesn't have to die. It's breast cancer.
Hold that thought, Barry, but I want you to hang on. We want to pick this up after the break.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine, so Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Attention, this is Jack Blood with an urgent GCN news bulletin. Do you desperately need to get out of debt fast? Would you like to make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're a GCN listener, there is a very real chance you will now be able to do it. Here's why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're cheating, but they're not cheating. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Learn how to finally teach financial vultures some humility by beating them at their own game, and above all, learn how to bail out for a soft landing. Get control. Get relief. Get some sleep. Go to www.outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
Well, Dr. Stan and Chris Berry was telling the story of the Prime Minister Rabin's wife, and of course she has come out and said there should be another investigation of her husband's death. They even recommended people read Barry Shamus's book on the murder of Rabin. And so Barry's being told by one of the doctors who was involved in her care that she was being given the wrong treatment. And he went and complained about it, and he was threatened and told to keep quiet. And then, of course, another doctor tells another oncologist at another occasion, tells Barry exactly the same thing. In other words, somebody is intentionally giving Mrs. Rabin the wrong medicine for her breast carcinoma. I want to quickly wrap this thing up, Barry. It's a
fast thing. Oh, really? Thing, I don't tell her about the next doctor?
Right.
How much time do you have?
Oh, we're really out of time. I just wanted
to
wrap a story
up. We'll do it another time.
All right, fine. God bless. Thanks so very much for being with us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Fantastic. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, there's so many parts of the story that Barry, has, and certainly there's one very prominent Israeli who was actually murdered by two Palestinians. The Shabbat picks up the Palestinians. They've got him dead to rights. They've killed this prominent prominent Israeli, and he is leading a protest against the government. What do the Shabbat do? They're the equivalent of the FBI. They turn these murderers over to the Palestinians, who turn them loose. Why would you do something like that? Unless maybe, of course, the Shabbat wanted that man dead because he was objecting to what was going on. Could things like that happen in America? Of course they happen in America. And you have to understand that the same spiritual forces are working in Israel that are working here in the United States. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our pamphlets on, and there are three of them, The Occult Hierarchy. You need to get our book on the satanic crimes and the four tape set on satanic crimes. And then, of course, you need to go to WilliamHKennedy.com and watch there the video pictures, actually shot at great personal risk, of the members of Skull and Bones and their initiation bowing down to Lucifer. There really are Luciferian organizations alive and well in our country. There is a supernatural. You need to get our four tape or four CD set on the supernatural and the book that goes with that, The Beautiful Side of Evil. You need to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. And, of course, if you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, you can see all the books and four tape sets and videos that we have that will take you into the background of what's really going on today. And we've got a great book called The Diary of a Devil Hunter. And this was a man who had been into Satanism, who goes around the country talking to police departments about, the satanic covens in their communities. And then an agent is sent out from the FBI to discredit him. That's The Diary of a Devil Hunter. Understand, this is not imaginary. It's real. It's going on in our society. And if you look at what's going on in the world, so much of it doesn't make sense. Iraq, Afghanistan. We've been fighting Afghanistan for over 6 years and in Iraq for over 4 years, and we can't win the wars. Why not? Because we didn't intend to win the war. We went there to lose, just like we went to Vietnam to lose. We went to Korea to lose. The American people are not being told the truth. And that's why you need to go to our website of RadioLiberty.com and pull down our newsletters and read them and keep them on file and watch the DVDs we have up there. They don't cost anything. And then listen to our programs. They're archived and they're MP3, and you can listen 9 hours a day to the live feed to the satellite. You know, get other people listening to our program. Understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. The Bible is true. The prophecies are coming to pass. And you better understand what's going on and make preparations for yourself and your family. But the most important preparations are the spiritual preparations. Do you have a personal relationship with our Lord? If you were to die tomorrow, where would you spend eternity? Well, we're going to be back in just a moment. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for this hour, our guest is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And so, without further ado, how are you tonight, Joel?
I'm just fine, Dr. Stan. I've had a wonderful and peaceful Christmas holiday, and the news has slowed down enough for me to give my yearly end-of-the-year big-picture briefing to my readers, and so we're going to get a preview of that in today's show.
All right, fine. Well, I'll just let you go ahead, pick up the ball, and run with it.
Thank you. You know, this year we have, without reviewing all of this year's briefs, in 2007 we witnessed a continuous parade of government lying, deception, and manipulation of public opinion to justify and or conceal a total surveillance society, immunity for telephone companies involved in providing illegal access to telephone and internet trunk lines. We've seen a continuation of illegal immigration and the justification of that illegal immigration, the stonewalling against building a fence. We've seen insidious lying about torture and its justification. We've seen the denial of basic due process and habeas corpus to Guantanamo detainees and even U.S. citizens. We've seen warrantless searches and even the confiscation of private precious metals in the Ron Paul Liberty Dollar scandal, etc. We've also seen continued manipulation of polls and news articles about presidential candidates, suppressing the candidacy of Ron Paul, and resurrecting failed candidates like John McCain and Mike Huckabee. You know, at least it tells us one good thing, that those that control our government don't have absolute control, just effective control. They must continue to worry about losing control, and they have to use the media to manipulate. You know, the Ron Paul campaign is the biggest backlash threat the powers that be have ever seen since Ronald Reagan. Now, they successfully diverted the threat of Ronald Reagan by controlling his presidency and allowing numerous compromises, which they were able to induce or coerce him into doing. But they wouldn't be able to do that with Ron Paul. So they are running a must-stop Ron Paul campaign. They're also running a lesser intense but also dedicated must-stop Mitt Romney campaign. And it isn't because Mitt Romney is not more or less controlled. It's just that he isn't a knowing conspirator inside the system, as are the two preferred candidates for the Republican presidency, Rudolph Giuliani and John McCain. These are people who have a long history of betraying the conservative causes to the powers that be and working hand in glove with them behind the scene to create deceptions, much like I've talked about in the deception of John McCain championing the cause of anti-torture. In fact, he is the one who cut a deal with the administration allowing Congress to pass a very flawed anti-torture legislation, which had so many loopholes that in essence it didn't stop anything at all. And any true person who was really aligned, was dedicated to stopping torture in the United States, would have blown the cover of that legislation and decried its compromises and the flaws that they were. But McCain rejoiced with the president in signing something that was a total fraud. So I'm not at all enthused about the appearance of goodness in some of these candidates, only what they actually do.
All right, fine. Well, our guest, of course, is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and we're getting the preliminary approach to the year-end summary. What's actually happened this past year? We're going to be back, of course, in just a moment or two as we bring on some of the other stations into our network. And then, of course, those of you who are listening out there now, we'll be back in just approximately 3 minutes as we proceed with this story. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and, of course, our guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and Joel certainly has a background. He was in the military and intelligence. He's a writer, a prolific writer, certainly an observer, and now puts out a weekly commentary called World Affairs Brief, and also a daily internet site, which I go to myself personally every day, World Affairs Brief. And if you want to know what's going on in the world, why, that's where you go first thing in the morning, as I do when I finish my emails. I immediately go to World Affairs Brief to get the overview of the major articles carried by the major ministries and news sources, and it just saves an awful lot of time, and they'll even add a few programs, a few additional articles during the course of the day. Well, of course, Joel has simply been talking about the candidacy of Ron Paul, and how the establishment is frightened to death. This is the best candidate we've had going back, well, I think all the way back to Barry Goldwater, but certainly about going back at least to Ronald Reagan, and a man who is not under the control of the powers that be, this clique that really runs our country and runs both the Republican and Democratic candidates and makes mockery out of representative government. So you pick the story up there, Joel.
You know, this last week I covered my main story on the World Affairs Brief, and by the way, if people listening want samples of the World Affairs Brief, they can email me and I can mail them. Current World Affairs Brief talks about major media manipulation. It was a too-good-to-be-true story when about six major newspapers in the United States came out endorsing John McCain, and all of them endorsed John McCain. Not a single one endorsed Rudolph Giuliani, and these are establishment papers. And interestingly enough, a good many of these were liberal pro-democratic papers, so these were kind of throwaway votes. They were meant specifically, in other words, many Republicans discount them, but it was the weight of all of these newspapers, including the Des Moines Register, which and the New Hampshire papers, which impact the first two primaries, that went for McCain. All of them universally went for McCain, a failed candidate who was really going spiraling downward in the polls. And it was clearly a manipulated effort on the powers that be to try to resurrect the candidacy of McCain without, and I preface this saying, without, wasting all of the newspapers. In other words, many newspapers have yet to do their recommendations. They're using about six major papers, including Boston Globe and the Hartford Courant and New Hampshire newspapers and...
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Joel Skousen. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Joel is simply pointing out that six or seven of the major newspapers had come out recommending John McCain. Now, John McCain doesn't have support across America. You don't see any vote for John McCain signs in your community, do you? Certainly he is not collecting money. People are not putting money into his campaign. People don't like John McCain for many, many reasons.
We could, of course, go into what happened in Vietnam, where he went over to the other side, and the Vietnam veterans who were prisoners of war hated McCain because he got special privileges because he betrayed, of course, his obligation to his country. But this is never mentioned in America. He, not only that, but he's been instrumental in covering up the fact that we left an awful lot of men behind. We abandoned them. And it's a shame that one of them wasn't John McCain, who was abandoned, because he's done everything he could to keep the information from coming out about all the men we left behind in Vietnam. Well, be that as it may, I think that the fact that there's six major newspapers that have come out behind McCain should show people that the newspapers are utilized. The major newspapers in America, the major news magazines, the major television and radio stations are all controlled by this little clique of five mega corporations that tie into what we call the Council on Foreign Relations, the powers that be. I call them the occult hierarchy. It doesn't matter what you call them. But, of course, they control the media, and as a result, they control what the American people think. And with that as the background, Joel, you pick up the story.
Well, it's interesting, Dr. Stan, that this is not forcible control against the will of the papers. This is where you have bought out papers through controlled corporations for many years, much as they bought out all of the radio stations, the major radio stations in the United States, through two major corporations. And now they have willing participants, willing editors who will follow the globalist agenda because they, in fact, have joined in willingly. And this is not arm twisting. There is arm twisting that goes on between editors and story and writers who happen to have an independent streak. There are a few of those still in the journalistic profession. But what we saw here this past week was a deliberate attempt to manipulate John McCain back into the race. And I think the main purpose was, there was a twofold purpose. One of the purposes was to staunch the Ron Paul level of support. But most of it, I think, was aimed at Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is a self-made threat because of his own wealth. He's able to bypass any media attempts to not promote him. But nevertheless, being a non-conspirator, he's kind of a willing go-along with them because he wants to get elected so bad. But he isn't a knowing conspirator with those, and they're afraid if they get somebody like that in, he might see something and rebel against what his advisors, what he willingly goes along with advisors now, if he were able to see what's right. A person of integrity might rebel against them and have to be controlled in ways that they controlled Ronald Reagan, an assassination attempt, and other things as well. So one of the problems, though, the other reason why they're pushing McCain is it looks like Rudolph Giuliani is faltering badly. The damaging revelations that are coming out about his the illegal actions, his corruption, and his ties to the powers that be, not to mention, of course, his betrayal of the firefighters in 9/11, having had insider information and failing to warn his firefighters and the people who were fleeing these towers that they were going to be taken down by explosive demolition. This is a major liability. There may even be some health issues, some cancer that has been rumored about Giuliani that they may know about, even though the doctors are proclaiming he's in good health. They could be lying. Anyway, the powers that be seem to be desperate to move someone else into second position behind Giuliani to make sure that if Giuliani fades in the race, that it doesn't go to the benefit of Mitt Romney. And worse yet, of course, to Ron Paul from their point of view, who is truly a principled candidate. They're able to, and so far have been able to, effectively denigrate Ron Paul's candidacy by denying him media coverage. He's being able to bypass that now recently because of the almost $20 million that he's been able to raise in this quarter and all of the advertising that he's been able to buy with it. But when you look at the media interviews, which they rarely give, the ones that they do give, such as on Meet the Press with Tim Russert, every question that he aimed at Ron Paul went clear back to his days running as a libertarian and took any position that Russert perceived would turn off the American people and brought those up. In no case has Russert treated any of the other major candidates in that manner. He normally tosses out softball questions, allowing them ample time to just explain in the most ubiquitous manner whatever they want to please the American people. But not so with Ron Paul. He was put on the defensive immediately with question after question. He handled himself well, I felt, but it was obvious to any neutral observer that this was an attack opportunity for Russert and that he was hostile to his presidency or his candidacy.
Yes, I wish I'd seen the whole thing, but the parts that I did see, I thought that Ron Paul did very, very well.
He did, but it was the nature of the interview that showed that this was not a fair opportunity for Ron Paul to shine. He was definitely put on the defensive. Now, what's interesting and what I wanted to point out in terms of my overall review of this last year, we've seen a major piece of media manipulation, and this week we're watching the results of that manipulation, and I think the powers that be are very disappointed. They keep barely talking about a surge in McCain, but it's pretty difficult to add credibility to that because McCain isn't yet surging. He's coming up a little bit in the polls, but not enough to show him leading in anything. So this is probably going to be a failed strategy on their part.
All right, fine. Well, certainly Huckabee seems to have taken somewhat of a lead in the Iowa primary. Anyway, he's certainly catering to the Christian population. Keeps referring to the fact he's such a staunch Christian, and yet, of course, everybody who's ever studied his record realizes he's simply a Republican Jimmy Carter. He is just so liberal on so many of the things that he did when he was in Arkansas. But, of course, they're not telling the American people that.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. The Iowa primary of any of them are much more able to manipulate in terms of a Christian candidate because so many of the active political delegates to the caucuses there in Iowa are mainstream and fundamentalist Christians, and they're very, very susceptible to a Huckabee candidacy. Christians also are very unscrutinizing, it seems, in the details of a person's record. They're more willing to believe the generalities about his Christianity, which I, don't object to in Huckabee. I'm sure he is a sincere Christian, but nevertheless, as Jimmy Carter was also a sincere Christian, but it didn't seem to influence his ability to be snookered by every liberal cause that comes along. In like manner, Huckabee seems all too willing to go along with the globalist agenda, speaking to the CFR and waxing eloquent about, talking about military intervention around the world, as well as many socialist and pro-immigration, pro-illegal immigration policies. These things are having an effect. And I noticed that the press is spending more time bashing Romney about his attacks on Huckabee than they are about giving actual neutral coverage to the fact that Huckabee's record is very flawed. But once again, it does appear that the media is really taking aim at Mitt Romney to make sure he doesn't get in there. I think, frankly, that Mitt Romney, although I believe he's a very sincere and very capable person, would be a disaster for the conservative cause because he would be capable of corrupting the conservative base, much as Huckabee would corrupt the conservative base, much as Newt Gingrich corrupted the conservative base during the early 1990s with his contract on America, which turned out to be a contract on America, as he championed every global cause that he could.
Well, I think, but the conservative Christians don't understand this. Newt Gingrich is a New Ager. He's always been a New Ager. He's never been a conservative, but he can sure talk a good game. I'll tell you what, he could convince most people he's a conservative, and yet he's never been.
Well, look at his latest book, though, where he targeted the Christians by talking about God in America, and this is a person who has no business talking about God any more than Bill Clinton does. But it shows the degree to which these political animals will turn chameleon and take any position necessary to win. And there are many Christian leaders that have bought into this and endorsed Newt Gingrich to, I think, their everlasting shame, frankly, much as Pat Robertson endorsed Giuliani. I mean, that's pretty close to getting in bed with the devil.
Amen to that.
Well, going to a worldview, Dr. Stan, in my briefs, and that's what I normally do in the very biggest picture. We do get concentrated much of the time in the brief on the issues of the day, the continued manipulation of our governmental processes. But I do want to turn to the larger worldview of the coming world war, and I want my listeners especially to be focused on the fact that all of the grand strategy of the globalists to control our government, the Anglo-American establishment, is focused on getting us into another world war. Each year we see the U.S. engaged in extensive military and covert intervention in nearly every country of the world, either under the guise of spreading democracy or promoting U.S. interests. This intervention is the real source of hatred against America, not our freedoms. However, the true globalist purpose in all this intervention is to antagonize the world and control essential resources necessary for this future war. I also think that trying to induce a massive nuclear retaliation against the U.S. military that will create a world conflict sufficiently horrible to induce Western nations to yield essential sovereignty to the New World Order. This is to a certain extent, an update, which I do each year, on my basic general theory.
All right, fine. Will you hang on to that? We'll be back in just a moment to talk about Joel's general theory about the coming World War III. Go right ahead, Joel.
And this, the foundation document upon which this update is based every year is called Strategic Threats of the Coming Decade. And it's found on my website, www.worldaffairsbrief.com. On the right-hand side, just click on the title, Strategic Threat. It's about a 25-page document that gives you this general theory. But it needs to be updated in detail, and that's what I've tried to do this week for my listeners. As I've documented in recent briefs, which we've talked about on your show, that strategy of antagonizing the world was halted temporarily for the first time that I can ever remember, Dr. Stan. The U.S., as we've discussed, was planning on an obliterating air assault on Iran this winter, but decided to postpone that attack out of fear that another explosive intervention and unpopular war based upon manipulated intelligence would accrue to the favor of Ron Paul, who's the only Republican anti-war presidential candidate. And he's already dangerously close to breaking out of the single digits in the primary state polls. I believed it was also feared correctly that the fragile state of the dollar could not handle another $1 trillion in deficit spending for the Iran war, while the establishment was busy funneling another $1 trillion into the world economy to bail out subprime mortgage holders and the banks that brokered those debt instruments. Now that's still ongoing, of course. The Bush administration has used this phony war on terror as a pretext in a seven-year campaign of devious and manipulative legal wrangling to undermine constitutional protections of the people and to incite what I call false patriotism. And we take notice that even in yesterday's assassination of Pakistani opposition leader Benazir Bhutto, actually it was today, almost yesterday in Pakistani time, government agencies in Pakistan and the U.S. were quick to pin the act on Al-Qaeda, of all things. Now, I always ask the question, when somebody starts to get a provenance of an assassination or a suicide attack, especially when the killer is killed, how do they know so quickly that it was Al-Qaeda? Did he leave a piece of paper saying, I'm from Al-Qaeda, and how easy is that to fake? Now, Bhutto claimed that she received a letter from, quote, friends of Al-Qaeda on October 23rd threatening more suicide attacks. But how hard is that to fake? I mean, any government black ops agent can send a letter to a candidate signing it friends of Al-Qaeda. You know, the powers that be don't seem to miss an opportunity to keep raising the specter of organized terror. It's too bad that only a few savvy thousands, a lot of which are listeners to your program, and read my briefs, that understand that Al-Qaeda is a controlled terrorism, form of a terrorism at the top, and it's used to further political purposes. And Pakistan is a key, an essential key, not in the war on terror, as is the public perception, but in the controlling of controlled terror for globalist conflict management purposes. General Musharraf has acted as the CIA's key manager of the arms pipeline to Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and other controlled enemies of the United States. And he is being covertly supported at all costs. And that's why the U.S. continues to support him during all of this tyranny and martial law and states of emergency. While Bhutto was no friend of liberty either, she was a major figure competing with Musharraf for power and had to be eliminated, in my opinion. The commonly stated pretense for this assassination by al-Qaeda, or Muslim militants, was that Bhutto was seen as a collaborator with Americans. Well, if that's true, it's even more applicable to Musharraf himself, and there have been no attacks on his life.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Sidney Joel is talking about the assassination of Mrs. Bhutto very early this morning in Pakistan time, and supposedly because she was murdered because she was opposing al-Qaeda, and al-Qaeda supposedly are the people behind this, but as Joel points out, and I think justifiably so, most of what we think we know about this world terrorist threat has been contrived. People can go back into the financing of this. The Muslim Brotherhood was financed largely by the CIA and by MI6, creating the best enemy money could buy. There are not that many terrorists. If there were, we would have terrorist attacks in America literally on a daily basis because we have no protection. We have wide open borders. And yet, of course, when was the last time there was a major terrorist attack in America with a lot of people killed, such as there are over in Iraq or certainly in Israel? And you're just not seeing it. And the reason you're not seeing it is because there is not this worldwide terrorist movement we're being told about. In fact, recently there was a trial about a couple of Muslims who wanted to blow up the Sears Tower. And when they went to trial, why the jury threw the case out. You know, why? Because it was all contrived by an FBI agent provocateur who talked these foolish Muslims in this country into thinking that they were joining al-Qaeda. And he even picked out the targets for them. In fact, almost every one of the trials held in the United States has been as a result of the agent provocateurs paid by our government hundreds of thousands of dollars to entrap Muslim men into making some statements, you know, that they really want to become terrorists. Go ahead and pick up the story, Joel.
All true. And, you know, going back to the Pakistan thing, with the major opposition to Musharraf, you know, Musharraf is positioning himself so that he can continue to rule and control elections, and obviously eliminating the opposition accrues to his benefit. This only leaves Nawaz Sharif in the opposition role, another former prime minister, but he'd better watch his back. Several analysts are predicting that this will give Musharraf another excuse to postpone the election because of so-called instability. That may or may not happen. If he goes ahead, obviously, it almost assures that his coalition will win. But in all of this continued emphasis on the terror threat, this is extremely effective at keeping the opposition at home here in America, parroting the standard line about securing our nation. Of course, they do so, as you pointed out, without securing our borders, which is an anomaly that no one has yet to explain to me. Why, if we have all these terrorists seeking to kill us, why can't they simply walk across our border and blow up some electrical pylons or railroad tracks or car bombs at malls, something which is almost impossible to stop. Of course, with it all, President Bush has slowly accustomed Americans to accept near dictatorial powers for the president under the guise of his commander-in-chief authority. Presidents used to require a declared war to exercise this power, but no more. The combination of a continual and unending war on terror with numerous broad-ranging war powers resolutions allowed by Congress, the United States is continually kept under a state of war and emergency that allows near total executive power.
And, you know, I was thinking the other day how television programs create a reality. And certainly no week goes by without a number of television programs telling us about threatened terrorist attacks, you know, but of course they're usually headed off by the hero, whoever the hero of the television program would be. And so night after night we hear about the terrorist threat, and yet it's all make-believe. It's all television programs. It's not reality, and yet that is indelibly recorded in our subconscious. And many people honestly believe that is reality. No, it's not reality. I mean, where are the real terrorist threats? And we've been at this for over 6 years. Where are all the terror bombers here, the suicide bombers in America? Go ahead, Joel.
Well, that's a question that nobody has any answer. President Cheney facetiously gave the answer a year or so ago on Jim Lehrer News Hour that we have Al-Qaeda on the run. But, you know, that just doesn't make sense that you've got them on the run. It didn't take any money. It doesn't take any wherewithal at all to, you know, walk across the border and do normal terrorist acts. But the American public has learned to judge terrorism by these high-profile acts that require a great deal of coordination. Too much coordination, in fact, for any group of the most sophisticated terrorists to pull off, such as loading 3 of the World Trade Center towers with explosives and bringing them down with the coordinated attack of an airplane. That's just not possible without people who had access to the security, who had access to be able to shut down the entire World Trade Center, as we found out happened on the weekend before the attacks, deny access to everyone. I mean, those were American security guards in the world, denying access to everybody and allowing all of these workers to come in with their backpacks loaded with explosives to load that building up.
Well, we'll never find out how Building 7 came down at 5:20 in the afternoon. How did they ever get in there and get all those explosives there? You know, without the FBI and the CIA, they were in the building.
That's right.
Knowing about
That's
it.
That's right. That whole
right
building
back.
Was a top high-security building with CIA, with IRS in there, with the...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Joel Skousen. Joel, go right ahead with the story.
Well, in essence, using this phony war on terror, and plus this constant, never-ending war that we've got, which will never end, you have this continual use of war and emergency power. And the executive branch's only restraint on using that power is the fear of engendering an open revolt from a small but growing minority of disaffected Republicans, Democrats, and independents who won't take it anymore. There's getting to be a real don't-tread-on-me atmosphere surrounding the Ron Paul candidacy and on the Internet. In any case, the executive still controls nearly unlimited secret forces, what I call the dark side of government, that can and still do carry out illegal surveillance, warrantless searches and confiscation, unlimited detention, and even torture, all under the cover of national security. So they don't really have to use these emergency powers openly. They continue to use a lot of those in secret, and they use the emergency powers to justify these actions to any potential whistleblowers who object to these illegal activities within the underside of government. Now, part of that dictatorial authority came in the Patriot Act, some in last year's Military Commissions Act, and some by changing the Insurrection Act, where Bush effectively overturned the Posse Comitatus Act, which bars the president from deploying troops within the United States. He can now declare martial law at will and employ U.S. troops within the nation to carry it out. The John Warner Defense Authorization Act of 2007 also allowed Bush to take control of the National Guard, which has always been under the purview of state governors. Now Bush has absolute power over all armed troops within the country, a state of affairs which the constitutionally purposely tried to prevent. That said, those that keep predicting that the president will use those powers, that is, martial law powers, soon, are to be disappointed in my estimation. The manpower simply does not presently exist to run any comprehensive form of martial law, and the early use of that power, without sufficient public justification, would cause, I think, a huge backlash against that presidential power, which they don't want to risk. They don't try to inconvenience the majority at one time. For an example of that backlash, we need only look further at the disaster the government made out of the Katrina hurricane. New Orleans is still not recovered, and smart people who got out aren't coming back to New Orleans. Even worse, savvy people know not to get caught up in a FEMA shelter, which quickly, of course, turned into mini prisons. In my opinion, we will only see the broad use of martial law during the big war that's coming.
All right, fine. Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with our good friend, Joel Skousen. All right, Dr. Stan. Go ahead, Joel. Pick the story up there.
Well, we're talking about martial law powers, which the president clearly has now. And my prognostication that they will not use those imminently, but they will wait until the next big war when America itself gets attacked. Until then, it's essential that the American people keep passive or kept passive with the illusion of peace and prosperity. That's why I have said, and in fact I reviewed my last year's recommendations in 2006 for the economy, and I predicted, correctly so, that the economy would continue to deteriorate, but that the powers that be would unleash whatever liquidity was possible to keep the economy afloat, and that great damage would be done to the dollar. And that's come true exactly this year. We have seen that happen. But interestingly enough, the dollar probably, with the kind of, well, there's been almost a $1 trillion bailout of the subprime mortgage market already occur, including $500 billion from the European Central Bank. And that normally would cause currencies to plunge in value around the world, but they have not. And the reason they have not, they have declined steadily, but they have not plunged, is because there's so much currency, large blocks out there, that those holders of large blocks of currency, of dollars in particular, cannot even begin to unload them without fearing that the market would collapse and they could lose all value in their stash before they could unload even 10 or 20% of it. And that's true. There's just too much money out there to unload in a rapid manner. So the powers that be have it both ways. They've been able to create cash and liquidity in order to keep the economy afloat, stave off a collapse, and yet avoid a complete dollar collapse. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not established inevitable forces, downward forces on the dollar, that we will have to deal with. But most of all, the American public will suffer the consequences of that in increased inflation, while the American government continues to be able to get away with throwing more paper money after bad.
And I share your concern. The only thing is, I think that this may very well be much more serious than many people have thought. And if this continues to go the way it is, and then the derivatives, which many of our large banks have written, begin to get calls on them, why, first you could see calls out there for $300 or $400 or $500 trillion in derivative, you know, redemptions, and at that point the whole financial system would come down. I think people have no idea how potentially serious this financial crisis is, and it's just possible, in my estimation, I wonder if it's your thoughts, are that this might get out away from the control of the powers that be, of the establishment, and this thing might go much, much further than they really anticipated.
The reason I don't think so is, first of all, strategically, they don't want it to happen.
Right.
They're resisting it. They want the people fat, dumb, and happy clear up to the war. They don't want an economic crisis of huge proportion to cause the people to throw the government out. Secondarily, they hold all of the big holders of debt instruments hostage to the fact that they could, you know, it's like these bankruptcy attorneys. They advertise on the radio, become debt-free, call this number toll-free, and they talk to a lawyer, they're bankrupt, and the lawyer says, look, I can get these people to forgive almost all of your debt. And they go out there, and they twist arms of the creditor and say, look, this guy can declare bankruptcy, and you get nothing. So I'm proposing that you give away half this debt, or three-quarters, and get this much, and then you'll get something for nothing. And the only reason these lawyers are able to do that is because they have the power of an evil law behind them that allows the person, used to allow especially, the person to walk away almost scot-free under the bankruptcy code. In the same way, the bankers, the big bankers, are going out to these creditors who are calling them and threatening them with lawsuits and saying, look, we want you to back up these debt instruments, we want you to pay us good money, we want you to roll them over into another type. And they're just saying, look, if you all pressure us, we're all going to go under and you'll get nothing. And so the choice is, you pressure us and you're going to get nothing. If you play along with us and let this thing ride and don't prosecute and don't demand collection, we'll get bailed out by the Fed. We've been given assurance by the plunge protection team that this money will come flowing through. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. They're taking the pressure off the system by these new auctions that they've developed. These new auctions allow them to put up as collateral to auction off, or what they're essentially doing is offering big blocks, $40 billion a week, to the open market to say, to banks who are in trouble, through this debt process to go and get new loans and to trade in the subprime mortgage paper that people were demanding redemption on. They're trading that into the Fed. The Fed is accepting that paper and giving them new money for it. So that's how they're actually eliminating the process, but it's costing up to $40 billion a week.
Well, of course, pretty soon you're going to begin to get an inflationary spiral here that they may not be able to control. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think that is a very, very thoughtful discussion and explanation on your part, though.
Well, what I'm saying about this isn't even immediately inflationary, because there's a black hole of money that's already been spent, that's already accumulated in the economy. This money, the money we've been dealing with that caused the bubble of inflation, this is the money that's already gone into the economy. Now, these people have paper accounts that are black holes anymore, and the Fed is simply filling those black holes with money, filling them up what has already disappeared and been spent. And so it will take a much longer period for that money to get back into the economy, because first of all, what they're really doing is replacing the principal on these loans with, quote, good money, so that these people can continue to accrue the interest that is due them, so the banks can continue to pay the interest. So nobody's going around and taking these $40 billion a week and cashing it in and spending it in the economy. They're simply redepositing it into the basic contracts that are giving rise to the interest payments of which these investors want. They want the interest. And in fact, I don't think they're allowed to bail out of the actual contracts, given the fact that they have gotten new contracts replacing their subprime mortgage contracts. So this is a case where I think the federal government is filling up the holes in the economy while not being directly inflationary. What is inflationary is the continued deficit spending of the government to all of these military contractors involved with military intervention around the world. That money is getting spent throughout the economy, and it's keeping the economy afloat.
Okay, fascinating, and I think this is going to be fascinating as we see this unfolding. I think an awful lot of people are going to get very badly hurt before this is over, but, well, we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Okay, going to the international scene here, in review of my general theory, we have three centers of power, Russia, China, and the Anglo-American globalists. All other nations are subservient to or allied with one or more of these big three powers. Now, I need to add here that each uses numerous surrogates to mask the control mechanisms they have. This year, we've seen, for example, the Western globalists broaden their direct support and control over Europe. You know, Europe used to be very, very anti-American and anti-globalist, and the people still are. But France and Germany have joined Britain as surrogates for the U.S. globalists, almost universally against the will of their own people. Each of these countries has been found to be cooperating with the CIA in their rendition and torture flights. In the latest rounds of elections, challenges from the far left have been beaten back in major countries, except for Italy, where the far left won as usual. When Berlusconi was put out of office, he was a globalist, and they've never gotten anyone back in. So the left rules in Italy, but pro-globalists have gained ground and rule France, Britain, and Germany. So not only do the globalists have a dedicated yes man in the new British Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, he is one who replaced the supreme Bush lackey, Tony Blair, but the White House has the total allegiance of France's Prime Minister, Nicolas Sarkozy, and Germany's Angela Merkel, and all the other European powers are relatively insignificant when compared to the influence of these big three economic powerhouses in Europe. Now, Russia and China are still allied in a deadly pact to strike the West with nuclear weapons as soon as the best opportunity presents itself, but not before 2009, in my opinion, in order to take advantage of the propaganda value of the 2008 Olympics. You know, it's amazing to me, Dr. Stan, that if the Olympics were being held in apartheid South Africa, the whole world would be conjured up in a huge attack against the human rights record of apartheid South Africa would boycott the Olympics, and yet Red China, you know, the dragon of human rights, has got the worst human rights record in the entire world, and there's not a hint of boycott against the elections in China. So I'm, you know, the hypocrisy of the world continues to show itself.
But of course, it's simply a manifestation of the control of the media. If the media were talking about the great hunger and the planned starvation that killed somewhere between 30 and 40, 3 million people, about between 58 and 62, and we kept hammering away at that, and why, of course, people would focus their attention on it.
That's right. Or if they even focused on the Lao Gai,
right,
the gulag of China, and the persecution of Christians, and the suppression of free speech, and the disappearances, and the crushing of hundreds of thousands of peasants' houses to make way for new industry in Beijing, and the pollution, and all of those things.
I certainly don't want to forget about, certainly, killing people so they can get their organs to sell them on the world market.
Right.
I mean, that alone should be enough to have the people inflamed throughout the world and incensed throughout the world. But when the media plays right along, and of course never mentions these things, and just keeps telling us how wonderful things are in China, how nice the Chinese people are, and the Chinese people are nice. They're good people. They're hard-working people. But they're also enslaved because we have allowed the Chinese communists to enslave them.
You know, it's interesting that the United States plays this role of being a critic of China and yet never enforcing that criticism with sanctions, withdrawal of business, cutting off of commerce with China, or in any way trying to put pressure. Yes, we deal in this soft form of diplomacy, and China turns around and slaps our hands every time we try to even get them to stop using lead paint in their toys. They retaliated against several military vessels and aircraft carriers coming into Hong Kong by denying them port havens during the holidays. And, you know, the Chinese are just ruthless about their ability to make sure that they force the West to kowtow from time to time. My more realistic estimate of when this threat of preeminent nuclear war against America comes is not, in fact, till the next decade. Primarily, I think, because China isn't ready yet, or even in 2009, which is only a couple of years away. And that schedule may slide again, depending on China's quest for economic and oil development, which has to be up to par before they're ready to take on a major war with the West. China continues to buy up oil rights in Africa, South America, and Southern Asia. It is also facing severe economic constraints to its near out-of-control growth problems tainted with political industrial corruption that is just incredible. The party hacks take their major share of any of the investment dollars that come into that country in those areas. The tremendous lack of natural resource development, especially electrical power generation. The U.S. is stepping in with its major Bechtel engineering corporations to build nuclear power plants. And yet the United States won't allow us to build any nuclear power plants here because of the environmental concerns.
And yet, of course, we will go ahead, as we did with Westinghouse, and guarantee the Westinghouse $5 billion loans as Westinghouse builds 5 nuclear power plants in China, communist China. And yet, Westinghouse isn't even an American company. It's a Japanese company. And we're guaranteeing their loans, and yet we can't have a nuclear power plant here. And there's something wrong with this scenario.
Why do we have to use import bank loans to finance something with China when China has all these billions of excess dollars?
That doesn't really make sense, does it?
No, it doesn't make sense at all. It's just crazy. But you know, China's semi-secret military expansion is going forward at a very fast pace, even though slower than what the communist leaders want. China still has a long way to go to upgrade its air power and build a blue water navy with the latest electronics and detection systems. It takes time to steal and implement technology necessary. And the U.S. even looks the other way as the Commerce Department continues to facilitate dual-use technology transfers to China. The U.S. also continues the treasonous practice of allowing Russian China to visit U.S. weapons labs and infiltrate our best technology universities with student spies from China. According to the Department of Defense, quote, many of China's new generation of scientists, engineers, and managers received training and have experience in the United States. In 2004, the United States granted 35,500 F1, J1, and M1 student or exchange visas to communist Chinese nationals. 35,000, Dr. Stan.
Well,
and it's even greater today. We don't have them, today's figures.
But of course, none of this really makes sense unless there is some other power, some other force out there behind these things that is, really is moving us intentionally towards a war with communist China and a war with communist Russia. Why in the heaven's name would we be building up these potential enemies that have threatened us, unless there is another force out there that really wants this terrible, terrible world war?
Well, and that's what my general theory states, and I encourage people to read it. We won't have time to go through all of this. But, it's really incredible. I go through in today's brief a tremendous amount of information the DOD points out about the Chinese threat, even though they downplayed in the 2007 report to Congress. But incredibly, the DOD has published no threat document whatsoever on the Russian military advances, which are at least as big as the Chinese ones. The U.S. intelligence community continues to treat Russia as a complete ally, despite increasing hostile expressions from President Putin and the pulling out of yet another weapons treaty. They pulled out of the Conventional Forces Treaty this month. The continued production of the world's most formidable ICBM, the Russian Tupolev. And if you ask U.S. intelligence what Russian missile and nuclear warhead numbers are, you will find they are suspiciously matched to what nuclear disarmament treaties say Russia has agreed to, even though Russia has backed out of all or portions of all those treaties. In other words, the U.S. doesn't really know what Russia does, but states that it is in total compliance with treaties and adjusts its numbers of Russian warheads in accordance with those treaties. Isn't that incredible?
Well, there's so many incredible things, apparently. Russia is building a large naval base in Syria. Of course, that will give them access to the Mediterranean. And nobody says anything about it. Most normal thing. Oh, yes, we'll go ahead and put in a large naval base. If we were building a large naval base in Israel, why, everybody would be up in arms, but the Russians can build one in Syria. We're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest has been Joel Skousen. Joel, how can people get a copy of your World Affairs Brief?
They can email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, and if they do it tomorrow, I'll be happy to send them this latest brief that we've been talking about.
editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. Let me suggest you get it. I'm looking forward to getting my copy over the weekend, and we'll have it read promptly. All right, Joel, we have 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, basically, I'm really concerned about the fact that the U.S. has never been allowed any inspectors inside the newest and most sensitive Russian underground facilities, especially Yamato Mountain, Kozlovinsky's Mountain. Those are both located in the Ural Mountain, very large mega bunker complexes the size of Washington, D.C. metro area underground. These sites are not only built to survive the effects of the West submarine-launched missiles, which cannot penetrate Russia's main bunker cities, but they also contain, in my analysis, whole factories for the next generation of biological, chemical, and nuclear and missile production. The Russians are planning not only surviving in a U.S. counterattack to the war they start, but continuing production in underground safe havens. Russia also has numerous underground bunkers to shelter about a fourth of its critical labor and military personnel in and around its major cities, and the U.S. has none. They only have major bunkers for our leaders. And it's my estimation, our leaders, when we induce Russia and China to start this war, our leaders will come out of their bunkers and say, oh, the Russians have deceived us, we didn't know about this, they'll claim innocence in the name of God, country, and the Constitution. They'll call for us to support another world war under the aegis of the United Nations, and I don't believe after this war is over that we will ever get our liberty back.
Well, I fear that you're absolutely right. I fear the war is coming. Wars are used to change the society. And until people understand that, wars are never fought for the reason that the average citizen is told, or the reason that the young men go overseas to fight and bleed and suffer and die. They're fought, and I believe every war of the last century and of this century has been fought to bring about a world government. And out of what Joel is describing, out of this this terrible conflict, I believe, will come the world government. What do you think?
Yes, I think that's exactly what they're aiming for. They tried to do that in World War I. They failed to get the League of Nations. They got the United Nations in World War II. World War II, but without any military power. And this World War III is meant to get the United Nations New World Order government with military power and the destruction of national sovereignty. And they will get Americans to cry out for it because of the destructive nuclear attack on this country that will put us at risk of total annihilation.
And people have forgotten that after the First World War, the people of Europe, most of them, because of the horror of the war, were willing to give up their sovereignty. And after the Second World War, the people of Europe, because of the horror of the war, were willing to give up their sovereignty. But the Americans weren't willing, and so that's why we have to have a Third World War. Joel, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly if you have enjoyed hearing with Joel, maybe you wouldn't enjoy it, but if you're intrigued by it, you really need, of course, to understand the United States has funded communism since its inception. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to read the pamphlet we have, The Communist-Capitalist Alliance. That's the Communist-Capitalist Alliance. It's a summation, I think, of four or five of our monthly newsletters. Then the book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Professor Sutton's book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, and the DVD or video interview I had with Professor Sutton before he passed away, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. And you must understand that even today, when America is having to borrow $2 billion a day just to meet our bills, we're finding excuses to funnel money into Russia. Why would we do that when Russia has almost $440 billion in reserves and we have no money in reserves? None of this makes sense unless you understand there are other forces out there. And this is why we, of course, hope that you'll want to get our material on covers this spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And certainly we hope that you'll want to get some of the material we have. Material by Johanna Michelson, The Supernatural, and the book that goes with that, entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil. And then, of course, some of the other books that we carry, A Diary of a Devil Hunter, an excellent book about a young man who came from a satanic background, was part of satanic covens, went around the country, of course, talking to various groups, and then, of course, the FBI would send their man out to say, oh, there are no satanic groups in America, it's all make-believe, there is no satanic organizations. Why would the FBI do that? Could it be because J. Edgar Hoover was a 33rd degree Mason, homosexual, deeply involved in immorality himself, and for many years had done everything he could to convince the American people that there was no mafia or Cosa Nostra? And it wasn't until the Kennedys came into office and began to put pressure on Hoover that he had to change his line and then supposedly go after the mafia. But of course, unfortunately, the mafia is still here, even though, of course, it's been thoroughly infiltrated by the FBI for many years, and many of the mafia criminals have actually been allowed to continue practicing their trade as long as they turn certain information over to the FBI. And that's told in a number of stories. We have a four-tape set called The FBI. The FBI, you need to get it. You need to understand the background to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will certainly go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and pull down the material that's available there, and the books and the videos and the four tape sets. We have a great book called Satanic Crimes, written by William H. Kennedy, and we have a four tape set on satanic crimes. And it'll take you into the background of the Bilderbergers. And then if you haven't seen that wonderful DVD that Alex Jones put out called Endgame, we have it in stock now. That's Endgame, that takes you into the Bilderbergers and their population control agenda, where they really intend to kill off the vast majority of the people in the world. And you say, why would anybody want to do that? Well, because they feel that you and I are using up their natural resources. And these people have a different worldview. If you get into the other items, why? Well, and you request it, we'll send you a copy of my pamphlet, The Population Control Agenda Monograph. That's the Population Control Agenda Monograph. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And again, our little pamphlet on the Communist-Capitalist Alliance points out that from the very inception of communism, it has been financed from the United States. The term comes from Solzhenitsyn, and in a speech he gave certainly before the AFL-CIO in 75, totally suppressed by the media in America. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.